Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. In the book of Exodus, God called Moses from a burning bush and told him to go and stand before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." But Moses was uncertain that the Israelites were going to follow him. And one of the questions he asked God was, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." Now in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the same phrase to tell the Israelites that the I am, God himself, has come. There are 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John that help us understand who God is through the person of Jesus Christ. We've already read 2 of them so far since January in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In chapter 8, he said, "I am the light of the world." And then in chapter 10, which is the chapter I'm on this week, there's actually 2. Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep," and "I am the good shepherd." What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? Well, enough of you have critters on the farm that you can imagine what Jesus is getting at. You're responsible for your animals. You're responsible for protecting them by putting up fences and for feeding them every day. They don't get into a new pasture without you opening the way for them. And you watch over them, you check them over to make sure that they're healthy, that there aren't any problems. When it's cold, you go out in the snow and in the ice, you break up so that they can drink that day. If one of them's pregnant, you check in on them to make sure that they and their child are going to be fine and there aren't any issues. Now, no matter what PETA says, when you take care of animals for any amount of time, you care about them and do everything you can to treat them kindly so that they can live out their purpose on this earth. So to call Jesus our good shepherd, this helps us to understand what this means. God is responsible for our well-being. He's responsible for our protection, and he puts up boundaries and limits in our lives so that we're not going to hurt ourselves. He feeds and waters us every day. He provides for these things. He checks in on us. He makes sure that we're healthy. He cares about us. He cares about our children. And no matter what other people might say, even when we're going through a difficult time, God cares about us and does everything in his power to treat us kindly. He cares about us, and he wants us to live out our purpose on this earth. In biblical times, a shepherd not only provided for his flock, but he would defend them against natural predators. I looked up what the natural predators at the time would be in Israel. Lions, wolves, leopards, panthers, bears, and hyenas. Sounds like a dangerous place. But in trying to keep his flock safe, a shepherd was risking their life against all of these dangerous foes. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, a shepherd also guided their flock to green pastures, to the areas where they could get the most nourishment. I heard a story once about someone who went to the Holy Land and saw a large flock of sheep grazing just out there on the countryside. There were a whole bunch of sheep, and there were several shepherds out there, and one of them got up to leave. And when the shepherd called out to their flock, those scattered amongst all these other sheep, just his sheep, left to follow him. The rest just stayed there, but his went and followed him. That's what Jesus is talking about here. To be a Christian means to have a God who would give up everything for you, but that has such a close relationship with you that you know his voice and you would follow him, but that you won't follow the voice of a stranger. But today I want to talk to you about another kind of shepherd that the Bible talks about, pastors. Now, I don't know if I've ever talked about this topic before because I always feel like it's a little self-serving because I'm a pastor. And yet, if I don't tell you what the Bible says, you might never know. And I have to remind myself that I am just one pastor on this earth, and I'm only one pastor even at this church. You've had many before me, you're going to have some after me. Remember, someday, here at Emmanuel, you're going to have another pastor. I will either take another call, or I'll be fired, or I'm going to retire, or I'm going to die one day. So it's important that you all know what the Bible says that a pastor is supposed to do, and how you're supposed to treat a pastor as part of a church. Pastors are often called shepherds in the Bible, and the congregation is considered their flock. The biblical passage that we look at today for guidance on this subject is 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So God is the chief shepherd of a congregation. Whether you have no pastor, or one pastor, or 20 pastors, like some of those megachurches. Now this is a comforting thought, as well as a challenging one. A few months ago in Audubon, their pastor suddenly died in a motorcycle accident. However, they never spent a day without a shepherd because God is always providing and protecting and watching over his church here on earth. I think that's good news. It's comforting to know during the most difficult times. Yet it can also be a challenging thought to know that God is always our chief shepherd. For example, if I, as your pastor, have a vision for this church about what we're supposed to do, and the council agrees with this vision, and the congregation votes, and y'all agree with this vision as well, except that vision is not supported by God, maybe it's not supported in the Bible, then we're doing the wrong thing, even if we all agree, because we're going against what the chief shepherd has to say. We have to follow God, not man. We're called to please God, not other human beings. In everything we do as a church, we should be asking ourselves, is this what God wants? Before we take votes on whatever level and whatever group, we should always ask, is this what God wants? But by understanding God as a shepherd, we can learn what we should expect pastors to do and how they should act. Eager to serve, it says. Pastors are called to be servant leaders, not bullies. Watch over the flock, it says, not pursuing dishonest gain. Pastors should always be willing to help, should tell the truth in all areas of their life. Pastors are also called to watch over the congregation, to provide them with pastoral care through prayer, through visitation, but also by protecting the congregation from danger. One of the ways that a pastor provides for the flock is through providing God's word in Bible studies and in messages, sermons. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." So a pastor is supposed to lead the flock to the true source of nourishment, Jesus Christ himself. A pastor's call is also to protect you from predators, most importantly, the devil, who, St. Peter says, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In a sermon, you should expect both comfort from God's word and challenge from God's word. If a pastor doesn't do both, then they're not being a very good shepherd. Here's the thing. In my personal experience, when I'm ever criticized for messages, it's either because they're too long, or it's because people tell me I shouldn't bring up certain subjects because it might hurt someone's feelings. Now, I get that. I do. But a pastor's job isn't just to keep the flock fat and happy, to tell good jokes and heartwarming stories. It's also to warn people, to point out boundaries, to hold people accountable for the faith that they confess to have, so that the sheep don't fall off a cliff by accident. Now, I truly do hope that you like the messages I preach, but much more importantly, I hope that the messages I preach reflect God's will for you, and that they cause you to repent from your sins and believe in the saving mercy of Jesus Christ. Now, I bet you that shepherds probably enjoy being around animals. Most pastors enjoy being around people. A good pastor will care about people, and not just people in their flock, in their congregation, but all people. They're going to truly care about you, and you should be able to tell that. But there's nothing in Scripture that says that they will always be liked by everyone at all times. St. Peter says it's much more important that they're a good example for the flock. So one of the ways we can think about this is, do they exemplify the fruits of the Spirit that it talks about in Galatians? No. Are they patient? Are they kind? Are they loving? Joyful? Do they promote peace? Are they faithful to the church and to their spouse? Are they generous, gentle, self-controlled? This is what you should be looking for. But of course, every pastor will also fail in all of these areas as well. In the Lutheran Church, we do not believe that pastors are some special kind of human being. They're just a normal person like all the rest of us. James 3 explains that the leaders of the church, though, including pastors, are held to a higher standard and not just by the congregation. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways." Pastors are just people. And while your judgment and criticism hurts, God's opinion matters the most. So I would encourage you to spend more time praying for pastors and less time criticizing them. I know a lot of pastors, and the majority of them are doing their very best, and they care about how their congregation feels about them, but they care even more that they're pleasing God. So we're called to support them and love them, and if you see a problem, kindly help them to fix it, because you care about them as much as they care about you. So at the end of the day, we are all one, we're all sheep within one flock, under the guidance of the chief shepherd. We are all called to humble ourselves before him and trust him with our lives, to follow him to the greenest of pastures, and to listen to his voice when he calls us away from danger. I also hope that you can see how pastors are supposed to be reflections of the chief shepherd, even though imperfect ones. We're all called to respect them and listen to them and pray for them. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," but he is more than just a good shepherd. He is also the gate to the heavenly home that we all hope to enter into one day. There is no greater gift than to be guided, sustained, and protected by him throughout our lives in the one flock of Almighty God, until he opens the final gate and leads us into life everlasting. Amen.